I want to go ahead and welcome everyone again and wish everyone a happy Sabbath or happy upcoming Sabbath, depending on where you are. And before we dig into the Bible today, will you just bow your head with me in prayer? Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the Word of God. And Father, today we ask that you teach us your ways, that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us and open our eyes that we may see wonderful things from your word. Lord, may we focus today on the message that you would have for us. I ask that you speak through me to your people today, Lord. I ask that you bless each individual on this line. And Lord, may we draw closer to you through the words that are spoken today. We humbly ask and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we will be covering, again, the topic of mental and spiritual restoration, and really our theme verse is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, and I'm sure you've heard me repeat this if you've been on the line before, and it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And that is such a wonderful promise yet challenge at the same time, and sometimes we ask the question, is it possible to really have the mind of Christ? But do you know that the Bible actually gives the answer? And I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16. And I'd like someone to read just that verse, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16. And we just want to, again, hear directly from the Word of God, is it possible to have the mind of Christ, a pure mind? The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Here in this verse, the apostle writes that we have the mind of Christ. Wow, that's such a powerful yet true statement, because we know it's found in the Bible. The question then we could ask is, how can we have the mind of Christ? You know, a few weeks ago we learned that Jesus prayed that in the book of John, "Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth." And we know that the Bible has a wonderful sanctifying influence on our mind. Yet, the Bible also tells us that just reading it in itself is not enough. In fact, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, calls us to be doers of the word, and not just hearers only. For if we're just hearing the word of God and not applying it to our lives, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, says we're actually deceiving ourselves. So we must therefore trust the promises of God found in the Bible, claim them by faith, and apply them to our lives. You know, God desires to restore our minds into his lovely character. Yet Satan is constantly also trying to corrupt our mind, the exact opposite of what God desires for us. And so each of us here on this planet is engaged in a battle for our minds. But imagine your mind as a castle. And what if you could just lock the gates and prevent Satan from tempting you and corrupting your mind? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do? Now we know as long as we live here on this earth before Jesus comes, we will be tempted. Yet, the Bible gives us some powerful instructions on how we can close many of the doors to Satan's temptations. But we first must ask the question, how can Satan access our minds? And then we'll ask the question, what can we do to keep them out? You know, the Bible gives a perfect answer to both of these questions. So let us study the Bible to discover the answer to these very important questions on how we can have a pure mind. How does Satan gain access to our minds? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I'd like someone to read the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, as we ask the question, what are the avenues of our mind? How can Satan gain access to our mind?
Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 tells us, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'"
Now I'm sure that we are familiar with this historical account found in the book of Genesis. Yet if we continue reading, we can learn something from these, from this passage. And in fact, we can even learn something from these first three verses. You know, if you had the ability to interview Eve right before she fell into temptation in the garden, in fact, if you had the ability to interview her right before she even began speaking with a serpent, and you asked her, "Eve, do you desire to eat of the tree of evil?" Do you know that her honest answer would be, "No, God has told me not to eat of the tree, for I will die." In fact, we don't need a hypothetical situation, because we know that that was her direct answer in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 2 through 3. Do you know that when God created man and woman, he created them with pure minds, and that Eve in the garden had a pure mind, the mind of Christ? She had a mind that desired to do God's will. She knew about Jesus. She did love God, for she was in obedience to all his commandments up to this point. She knew God was her creator. She knew God loved her. She knew about the Sabbath. She was in all respects a Seventh-day Adventist. In fact, she was perhaps in many ways just like us. Yet somehow she fell. Somehow her mind became corrupted, and she sinned. Friends, have you spent time in the Bible daily, and yet still struggled with sin? Are you wondering why you still cannot have pure thoughts? You know, 2 weeks ago we learned that we cannot have a pure mind apart from Christ and His Word. We must feed ourselves with that spiritual food, which is the Word of God. Now, studying and listening to the words of God and developing that daily relationship with Jesus is the foundation of obtaining a pure mind. Yet the Bible has so much more counsel that we must implement in order to obtain the mind of Christ. Let's discover how Satan corrupted Eve's mind, and then we can learn how to avoid temptation.
Let's continue reading now. Let's look at verses 4 through 5 of the same chapter. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 5 says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'"
So here we see that Eve is listening to the serpent, and the words of Satan were carefully calculated to instill doubt in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. What was one of Satan's first avenues he used in order to corrupt Eve's mind based on these verses? He used words as well, right? He was speaking to her words that were designed to instill doubt in the Word of God. You know, based on Genesis 3, we know that one of the avenues of the mind is through what we hear. Here is an important principle, friends. What we listen to has an effect on our mind. In fact, the next verse is a treasure of additional tips. Would someone like to read, or in fact, I'll go ahead and read the next verse in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Here this verse says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes." Here is yet another principle of how Eve was tempted. What we see, what we watch, has an effect on our mind. Now the last part of that verse says something interesting. It says, "And she saw that the tree was desirable to make one wise, so she took of its fruit and ate." Now, have you ever looked at a fruit tree and said, wow, if I eat that, I will become really wise? Probably not. But who told her that she would be made wise? It was the serpent, friends. His words. When Satan said, in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. Do you see the power of these principles, friends? How quickly can audio and visual input have an effect on us? How quickly was Eve's mind corrupted? Listen to this powerful warning found in the book Adventist Home. And this quote is found in page 401. And it sums up the principles found in Genesis chapter 3 when Sister White writes, all should guard the senses, lest Satan gain victory over them. For these are the avenues of the soul. You will have to become a faithful sentinel over your eyes, ears, and all your senses if you would control your mind and prevent vain and corrupt thoughts from staining your soul. She then says the power of grace alone can accomplish this most desirable work. Now, I love that last sentence when it says the power of grace alone. We can only achieve the mind of Christ through the grace and power of God. In fact, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, friends, we can obtain a pure mind by the Holy Spirit. It is only through God's power alone that you can obtain a pure mind. It is His work to purify you, yet it is always your choice. You can choose to allow God's word to fill your mind. Likewise, you can choose to fill your mind with the sinful things of this world. The power of choice, the final decision, is yours. In fact, just two pages later on Adventist Home, page 403, again she writes, those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. The mind must not be left to dwell at random upon every subject that the enemy of souls may suggest. The heart must be faithfully sentineled, or evils without will awaken evils within, and the soul will wander in darkness. Now here she says we must avoid reading and seeing and hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts, and that our mind must not be allowed to dwell on impure things. Now this is a good time to think about throughout this past week and perhaps this past month, what have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been hearing? Those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. You know, friends, in the Garden of Eden, Satan used a medium. He knew that God's people were too smart. If he showed up as Satan himself, he knew that he would be rejected. Likewise, he knows that if he shows up in a red suit, that you're not going to listen to him. So, just like in the garden, he uses a medium to tempt us. Do you know, beloved, that Satan is still using mediums today? In fact, in the garden, Satan took possession of a serpent to do his will. But what medium is Satan using today? What is Satan using in order to corrupt our mind? You know, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, and I encourage you to go there if you can very quickly, but the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 24 through 26 tells us what medium Satan is really using to attack us today. In fact, that scripture says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you know that just as Satan took the serpent captive to do his will, Satan is looking to take people captive to do his will today? That's what the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us. But What am I saying? Am I saying go lock yourself up in a mountain monastery? No, friends. How can we spread the gospel? How can we truly exercise love and compassion and patience if we just avoid others? But what the Bible does tell us to do is to avoid Satan's mediums. In fact, this principle is found in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, in which the Bible tells us to abstain from every form of evil. Now, if you're confused, perhaps let's just have a quick review and then we can move on. We know that Satan desires to pollute our minds and that we must guard our senses, what we see, hear, and read in order to have a pure mind. And Satan can use people in some way to be his medium. And yet we should avoid mediums of evil. But what are his mediums? If only we knew the mediums, we would know how to avoid them. We would know how to lock those spiritual gates, so to speak. Do you know that I am actually incorrectly using the word mediums? In fact, the true plural word for mediums is media. Beloved, could it be that Satan is using media as a medium to convey his character to us? Could it be that Satan is using people who, just like during the time of Jesus, were used to do Satan's will, to produce Satan's media? In the garden, Satan used a medium to tell lies. Satan said, you shall surely not die. Yet this medium he was using certainly was working falsehood. But friends, the good news is, no one need be deceived by Satan. For the Bible tells us what media Satan will use in an attempt to deceive us. In fact, one of these pieces of media that Satan will use is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. And the question is, what will Satan use in an attempt to deceive even us, the elect? You know, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 8 through 9, says this. It says, "How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have?" Here it says, the false pen of the scribe. Now, we don't have scribes in our day today, but we do have authors. And so we can take a warning out of the book of Jeremiah here, where God warns us about the false pen of the author who is working falsehood. You know, Satan is using literature to produce deception and lies. And Jeremiah 8 tells us that Satan is using books to spread his character. In fact, we can even see this in our day. You know, we see an increase in spiritualism and spiritualistic literature even throughout, even attacking our children. Perhaps you've heard of the popular series Harry Potter or the Twilight series, and these promote spiritualism and certain principles which contradict the Word of God. Do you know that the authors of these books were just two ordinary women? One was a house mom and the other a secretary. But suddenly they became world-famous authors. Do you know, beloved, there is a reason why these books are becoming so popular. There is an unseen force of evil promoting these works. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a reason, beloved, why these books are covering the world. It is because we are battling against something that is supernatural. Beloved, if you have these books, if your children have these books, if you have any book which promotes anything that is contrary to the Word of God, I beg you, by the grace and mercy, in the name of the precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, get rid of these books. Throw them away, friends. Your salvation and the salvation of your children is at stake. You cannot read the media of Satan and have the mind of Christ. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Yet, friends, Satan is not the victor in this media battle. For God himself has produced media to convey his lovely character to us. Do you know the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 105, says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Friends, although the world seems to be blanketed in darkness by Satan's media, there is still a light source in this dark world. What you are holding in your hand, or have in front of you, that Bible is the best resource to be transformed into the lovely image of Jesus. And also through truth-filled literature, the everlasting gospel and the three angels' message is being spread throughout the world. And you know that God uses even more than his word. I encourage you to go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And I'd like someone to read the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 23. Do you know that the Bible tells us that even listening to just instrumental music can affect our mind? You know, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and that an evil spirit was troubling him. But yet something happened.
In fact, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 23, it is written, "And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him."
Here we see the power of good, godly music. In fact, that the Bible tells us that this pure music actually drove away an evil spirit. You know, friends, I'm so thankful for not only the Bible, but also the wonderful truths that are promoted through song and holy music. But friends, also Satan knows the power of music as well. If holy angels are attracted by good music, and as we know in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, as we just read, that evil spirits depart often from just the sound of holy music, then we know that unholy music can attract evil spirits as well. The principle goes both ways, friends. Yet Satan's greatest weapon to destroy our mind is actually first unleashed in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And I encourage you to go there as we discover the media battle for our mind. And I encourage you to turn with me in the book to the book of Matthew chapter 4, and I'd like us to read verses 8 through 9. I'll go ahead and read them. It says, "Again the devil took Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" Now the question is, what type of media was Satan really using there? You know, the book The Desire of Ages actually gives us some insight. When on page 129, Sister White writes that Satan placing Jesus upon a high mountain, he caused all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory to pass in panoramic view before him. The sunlight lay on templed cities, marble palaces, fertile fields, and fruit-laden vineyards. Here, Satan is using a panoramic display of all the wonderful things of the world. He was using an audio and visual representation. Do you know that the first evil high-definition movie was not created just recently? It was actually created nearly 2,000 years ago when Satan showed his movie to Jesus in order to tempt him. Yet God also has his visual media, friends. And I'm not just talking about the sermons that you see on DVDs. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, tells us that John the Revelator says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book." You know, friends, that God has used the spirit of prophecy and his own visual representations throughout the books of Revelation and Daniel and throughout the Bible to convey his truth to us. So this begs the question, how can we tell the difference between God's media and Satan's media? When we see a movie, when we see a book, when we listen to music, how can we distinguish between that which we should avoid and that which we should accept? The book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 20, gives us a very simple principle when it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." You know, if you listen to a lot of the music of this world, if you only listen to the lyrics, you will know that those words are not from God, friends. Another powerful principle is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verse 3. 101, verse 3, when the psalm declares, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing." You know, friends, we shouldn't set before our eyes some vile things for the sake of entertainment. We should have no compromise. Likewise, even a form of music can be determined by its fruits. You've heard in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 16, it says, "By their fruits you will know them." You know, you've heard that, perhaps you've heard the term sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I believe that we should avoid anything that's associated with those things, friends. Certainly God would not use all those things combined. And lastly, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8, gives us another wonderful principle, where it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of these things." You know, friends, if we just only compare the media that we are reading and watching and listening to the words found in the Bible, we will have clear guidelines on what is Satan's media and what is God's. And God doesn't desire us just to get rid of everything. In fact, we are not to be overcome by evil, but instead we are to replace it with things that are good. And so I'm so thankful that God has provided wonderful truth-filled media that we can fill our minds with. You know, friends, if you can't control what you watch, then what you watch is controlling you. But beloved, there is one stronger than the media of Satan. His name is Jesus. And today he is making an appeal to you. You know, friends, we sing the song, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold." But do you know, friends, that Jesus would rather have you than silver or gold? You see, there is no one who has more silver and gold than Jesus. In fact, the Bible declares that the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, declares the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness in it. God already has, and he owns, everything in the world. In fact, God has even more than this. You see, friends, billions of holy, perfect angels worship the Lord day and night. Yet, he left the glory and riches of heaven to come to this earth. His life was one of toil and pain. Men rejected him and mocked him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was betrayed by one of his own and suffered the death of a criminal on a cross. He left the 99 found sheep to seek and save the one lost. And that one lost sheep was you and me. He is calling you today, friends, to something better. A life free from an impure mind, emptiness, depression, guilt, and shame. You were bought at a price, the very life of God. Today he is calling you to give up all the wicked media of this world, for he gave up so much more for us on the cross. God's appeal to us today is that we touch no unclean thing, and that Jesus will receive us. You know, friends, he is knocking on our hearts today. He is saying to you, my son, my daughter, I have been asking you for a long time to get rid of this media which is not in accordance with my will. Friends, will you make the decision today to get rid of those things? Would you rather have Jesus? Now, the book of Acts, chapter 19, tells us of a great revival where there was many Christians who brought their magic books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value, and it told us over 50,000 pieces of silver. And the next verse says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. I'd like the word of the Lord to grow mightily and prevail in my life, wouldn't you? You know, those people had some of Satan's media, magic books. They didn't sell them. They destroyed them, friends, because those magic books were a medium used by Satan. It is my prayer today that perhaps God has placed on your heart that you have realized that you have some of Satan's media that is a medium for the enemy of souls. Perhaps, beloved, you have books that you know should go in the fireplace. You have magic books, storybooks on DVD, that you know do not glorify God. Perhaps you have video games in which all forms of evil take place. And you have music that you know does not glorify God. But friends, once you turn to Jesus, you will see that his plan is always good for us. Friends, I hope that your prayer today is that you are willing to give up the entertainment of this world so that you may have a crown of life in heaven, so that you may have a pure mind, and that you may draw closer to Jesus. Isn't that your prayer today, friends? To follow Jesus, no matter what. Friends, if that's your prayer, I just encourage you to bow your heads with me as we close today's topic in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for guiding our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us clear guidelines in the Bible. And Lord, we ask that you grant us the strength to put away the things of this world and to put on the armor of Christ. Lord, we ask that you clothe us in your righteousness, Father. Help us to have pure minds day by day and moment by moment. Lord, if there's someone here today that is struggling with something, some form of media, whether it be internet or television or something that they know is bringing harm and impure thoughts into their mind, Lord, I humbly ask that you send your Holy Spirit to give them the strength to give up these things. Lord, we'd rather spend eternity with you in heaven than have all the things of this world. And so, Lord, we thank you for your tremendous sacrifice for us. May we give up all that is impure so that we may draw closer to you. Father, bless each individual here today and those who could not make it as well. We humbly ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.